Happy New Year to everybody. You know, as the old cliche goes, haven't seen you since last year. Where you been? You know, it's amazing how fast the years change and everything. And, you know, you as you get older, it seems to happen faster and faster. And, you know, you begin to wonder, how do you get to bring change into your life? You know, it's a new year, and you start out, you know, when you're young, it's new year, and you've got all these dreams for the new year. And then you get to be an adult, you get out of school, you start getting in a job, and all of a sudden, you know, it's all these things where it's like, okay, I've got all these things I'm going to accomplish, all these goals I'm going to accomplish this year, and all these things. And then you get a little bit older, and then it's like, well, you know, usually by the end of January, most of those New Year's resolutions are already kaput. And, you know, you kind of settle in and whatever comes, I'm just going to try and survive it. And, you know, we can do that in life, and we get, because of the pace and speed of life, and, you know, we fall into that trap easily. But sometimes we fall into that trap spiritually as well. You know, we start out like great guns when we first have our encounter with God, and we realize He died for us, and all of those things are exciting to us, and all of a sudden it's you know, and then we start discovering and reading and learning, and then all of a sudden we kind of settle in, and it's kind of same old, and you know, we've crossed the threshold of another year. It's a brand new year. Is it going to be the same old us this year? You know, you look at Scripture, and there's so many examples of people that just, the faith that they had is incredible. I can remember growing up and in Sunday school singing the song, Dare to be a Daniel. And don't panic, I'm not going to sing it for you. You know, but you know, Daniel goes into the lion's den and you know, he just stands there firm and never fearful. And the lion's mouths are, you know, that's the image we get. You know, I don't know whether Daniel was standing there in fear or not. He was standing there protected, that we do know, because God closed the mouth of the lions. And, you know, you see his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, in the fiery furnace. And you see the faith of David and Moses, and you look at these people, and you know, it almost, you get to Elijah, you know, and on Mount Carmel, he calls down fire and consumes this altar that's been soaked in water, and it hasn't, you know, and then you get to the New Testament, and the Bible says that Elijah was a person just like you and me. What makes the difference between something like that, the mountaintop experience, and the average person? Well, it's how God works and changes our life as he grows us by our faith. You know, the faith factor is the factor that changes things. And as we start our new series, Finding the Path to Transformation, this year, how does God work at bringing change in our life, and how can we get on that program so that we don't settle into same old, and a lot of it comes down to the question of faith. I mean, God moves us based on faith. He kept telling his disciples, O ye of little faith. And then at the same time, he told them, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So it's not necessarily just quantity of faith, but I think there's a certain sense of freshness in faith. Do we believe at this moment that the God that we are trusting is big enough to take us forward? Not only to take us forward, but to take us forward in a favorable way so that it will be for His glory and for our good. And so, over the next several weeks, we are going to be looking at this whole idea of the path for transformation, and how does God change us, and what does He do to change us? And one of the individuals that I want us to look at this morning is the Apostle Paul. And we're going to be looking at his moment when he encountered God and his life was transformed. Now, it's in the book of Acts. There are three different places that you can find it in the book of Acts. It first appears in Acts chapter 9, then in chapter 22, and then again in chapter 26. In chapter 9, Luke is describing the event in his words. In chapter 22 and in chapter 26, Paul describes it in his own words. And I want us to look at this event in the life of Paul and see what it does to show us what it means to have fresh faith. Faith that will grow to transform us into what God has for us. So let's go ahead and begin and take a look here in Acts chapter 22. And in Acts chapter 22, we find Paul having been arrested. And, you know, kind of interesting. It's, you know, where does fresh faith land you? Sometimes in prison. And you're like, well, wait a minute, I'm not so sure I want fresh faith. I don't want a growing faith if it's going to end up in prison. But remember, being in prison when that's where God wants you is the best place to be. If you're not in prison and God wants you there, that's even more miserable. There's less freedom there. But he's arrested and he's giving an account for why he's been arrested. And he shares kind of his testimony of how God met him and changed him and transformed his understanding of him. It says, when the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man who is teaching. I'm reading in the wrong section. You know, that's what happens when you're working with a digital thing and you touch the screen and it moved. And then you have older eyes and you don't catch it. All right, chapter 22, verse 1. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I am now making before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to go to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take care of those who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me, and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me, said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. As we look at that passage of Scripture, indeed, for Paul, it was an incredible event to have that experience on the Damascus Road. And I think sometimes we think, well, boy, my life would be radically different if God all of a sudden appeared to me in a vision. And I think for each one of us, you know, it's not the experience that we have, but it's the faith that God grows through the experiences that we have. And each of us gets the opportunity to have those experiences that we need to grow our faith. And as we look here at the Apostle Paul, you know, Paul wasn't new to this whole thing about God. In fact, as he's sharing with the people there, he was very zealous for God. He was a passionate religious person. Paul was committed to following God, committed to honoring God. He was a devoted person. And we might look at Paul and think, well, he was already growing in his faith. He was already doing incredible things. But there was something missing in Paul's experience of his faith. And Paul hadn't caught it yet. And yet Jesus had been around teaching. In fact, Paul had been around early on when he was called Saul, watching these Christians, hearing Stephen. In fact, he first appears when Stephen is being stoned to death for his faith and his testimony of who Jesus was. And we find that experience there, where Paul, you know, is having that moment there with all kinds of noises here. We have, you know, we have that. You know, Paul is missing something in that experience, and it comes to a head when he has his encounter with Jesus on that road to Damascus. And it really focuses around what we find here in verse 8. You know, all of a sudden, sees the light, brought to his knees, and he's wondering, what on earth is going on? And he says, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" It's like, who is speaking to me? And I think that's a critical question in faith. Because sometimes when we experience faith, sometimes we think it's just, you know, an adherence to a certain set of beliefs. For Paul, that was very much what it was. He'd studied the Old Testament. He knew how God was described. He knew what God had said we were supposed to do and not do. Isn't that how we oftentimes view our Christian faith? It's about what we should and shouldn't do. But there's a whole lot more to it than that. In fact, Paul had the what not to do and what to do down. But he was missing something. Something of the reality of God and who He was. Something of the personalness of God. And in response to that question, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus says to him, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, the one you're persecuting." All of a sudden, in a moment, for Paul, his faith took on a whole new perspective. When somebody asks you to describe your faith, how do you describe it? Well, I'm a Christian. I believe that there's one God. I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that the Bible is God's Word. And rightly so. All of those things are a part of our description of the Christian faith. But Jesus said that He came that we might have life. Life everlasting. That we might have eternal life. And He also said that life, eternal life, was knowing the Father and the one that He sent. The thing that Paul was missing in his faith was not a what question. Paul had the what's all down. It was a who question. Who was God to Paul? And I want to challenge you this morning that a transforming faith has a greater focus on the who question than the what question. And most especially, at least first, the who question. Who is it that we are believing in? Who is it that we are worshiping? Who is it that we are to be following? Paul was following a system that he was taught by one of the best of the day, Rabbi Gamaliel, who knew the law had all the instructions down. Not only did he know the law, but all of those additional laws that the Pharisees had established to make obedience to God supposedly easier. He had it all laid out and he had it all set up. Now, and yet it was something that was still missing in Paul's life. There wasn't that personal understanding of who God was. There wasn't the understanding that God loved him so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for him. For Paul, it was a performance-based faith according to a standard. And he needed to have an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus to wake him up. And that wake-up call comes through that very question. Who? Who are you, Lord? I mean, we say we follow God. What do we mean by that? Who is that? Who is that? The answer to that question is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul had faith that God existed, but he didn't understand that God had made himself known in a personal way through Jesus. He'd seen Jesus. You know, he'd experienced those people who had followed Jesus. He was there at that time. But did he know? No, he didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't understand all of those things. He saw that whole who question as a threat to his religion, to his practice of his faith. And so therefore he was trying to extinguish it and get rid of it. Isn't that always the case? That seems to be the biggest challenge from generation to generation in the church, is that as we grow and new generations experience new things, there's always that threat of change. And how do we balance that? And it's best balanced with the whole question of who. Who are you, Lord? Who are we following? Are we following a person or are we following a standard? When we begin to look through the scriptures, faith and Christianity is all about following Jesus Christ. When Jesus called the disciples, what did he say? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So what did they do? Well, they left things and followed him. They spent time with him. About 3 years of their life walking around with Jesus as he ministered, learning from him. That whole relationship aspect. How do we look at that and apply that today? In part, it comes from the fact that when we pick up God's Word, what do we see here? Do we see the Bible as a book of rules and regulations that we can follow to be better people? Or do we recognize it as God's letter about Himself to us so that we might know Him and enjoy Him forever? It's an opportunity for us to step into that picture. Paul finds himself in that situation on the road to Damascus, being confronted with the question, who is it that I follow? Who is it that I worship? What is my faith really all about? Is it about a standard or is it about a person? Is it about a tradition or is it about a growing relationship? There are similar things in both, but the reality comes very powerfully to us in Paul's experience. That God wants to speak to us. It's very interesting. You go to John 10 and John describes Jesus as the good shepherd. And what does he say? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You know, it's relational. I always find it very amazing how our pets can be so incredible in teaching us little things like this. Our dog has free rein of the backyard and loves to run around and bark at everybody around. But one of the things that he knows is he kind of has a sense of the pattern of when we come and go. And not only that, he has an incredible sense of what our cars sound like. And he can be sitting there playing around in the yard, and he can hear one of our cars turn on the off of Country Club onto 20th Lane there. And all of a sudden, boom. Boom, over to the edge of the fence, and he's sitting there and he's watching us, and then he peels through the dog door and runs in, and he's standing there by the front door. Well, we've got a rental car because our van is being repaired, and it's so funny because I'll pull around the corner and I'll see Rusty in the backyard, and he's just kind of standing there. I roll down the window and I, Rusty! Oh. All of a sudden now he knows who it is. And boom, he's right at the front door to welcome me. It's interesting. God could have made us creatures that followed a list of rules and regulations and jumped through hoops every time we saw a certain thing happen. But he didn't. We're created, Scripture says, in His image. I think a lot of that relates to the relational aspect of who we are. We were made to know Him and enjoy Him. In fact, Scripture says that when we stand before Him, we will know fully as we are known. There will be a completion of that relationship that will be incredibly rich. And our experience here and now, our experience through the issues of life, through the workplace, through our marriages, through our friendships, through all the various jobs that we have, all of the things that make up our weeks, all of the things that make up the little details of our life, are opportunities for us to grow in our relationship with God, to experience Him through the course of life, and to hear Him speak to us, to be able to learn to hear His voice. You know, and that's what Paul was missing. His faith was solid as far as facts that he knew about God, but it was missing the peace of the person of God and that provision for a relationship. See, Paul thought he could get to a relationship with God by following the rules. But the Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, not of works, lest any of us would brag about it. It's a faith matter. A faith in a person, the Son of God, sent to be a sacrifice for us. Sent to be a perfect, obedient replacement for us in regards to God's law. The whole package. Jesus perfectly kept the commandments, and then He paid the price for somebody who couldn't keep them, so that you and I could be brought back to God, so that we could have a relationship with Him. Paul says in his response there, you know, he just very, I think it's ironic how God works. For the first time in his life, he begins to see who God is when he can't see any more physically. You know, he's struck with blindness, but what does he begin to do? He begins to get a sense of who Jesus of Nazareth is. It just goes to show us that sometimes all the things that we think are for our advantage are actually a detriment to us. Paul said that God's power was made perfect in weakness, didn't he? Paul learned that through at his times of weakness, he saw great things about God, and it began there. If we are going to be great people of faith, it's not about so much about what we believe, but who. Because when we have our eyes focused on Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, it begins to change who we are. It begins to grow a faith in us that is rightly planted and rightly placed. The second question that Paul answered or that Paul asked, came from verse 10. After he had this experience and he has the answer to the question, who? Huh? This is all about Jesus. He says, well, what shall I do, Lord? And he says, arise, go to Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. Interesting, isn't it? Paul now, you know, the whole question is, you know, Paul's big question is, well, now what? I mean, okay, it's about Jesus. Well, now what? Well, you're going to have to learn now to walk differently, Paul. So what you need to do is go to Damascus. In fact, you're going to have to be led to Damascus. And you're going to meet somebody. And he's going to give you your sight back. And it's going to begin to be explained to you. All the things. Now, it is amazing when we look at these passages of Scripture and begin to think, you know, I love if you read chapter 9 of Luke, Ananias, you know, God speaks to Ananias and says, you know, I'm going to send Paul, you know, which Saul, actually, at that point, to you. And Ananias says, wait a minute, Lord. I know why he's here. He's here to collect us and take us to trial so that we'll be killed. And God says, no. I've stepped in. And you need to trust me. Very interesting, isn't it? The experience for Paul needing to be brought to a position to be able to trust Jesus is no different than any other believer, is it? Ananias understood everything that Paul was just beginning to get. He had already accepted who Jesus was. He had already become a follower of Him. He had already... But what is it about a growing faith? It's not just believing in a person, but it's now following him. Paul followed. Ananias followed. And it brought the two of them together. And God's plan continued to flow. It's amazing, isn't it? We want bigger faith so that we can experience more of what God has for us, so that the year ahead can be different, so that it can be, we can have a fresh experience of God. But how do we get there? It's not necessarily going to come simply from a greater abundance of knowledge. It's going to come through a deeper relationship with God, through a growing faith. You see, that's what our faith is. It's not the confidence to bring necessarily to believe more facts, but to rest in the person. Two things I want us to take away from this morning, from this passage of Scripture and this experience with Paul. Finding that path for transformation, it begins with faith in the person of God. In the person of God. Now, that doesn't mean we're rejecting all the facts. But what we're admitting is that God is more than facts. He is real. He's alive. He cares about us. He can speak into our lives. We can share our hearts with Him. We can share our burdens with Him. And He will guide us and walk us through the experiences of life. Whether we're at the beginning of that and we're just learning what it means to know God, or whether we're at the end of that. Whether we're at the beginning of our lives and we're, you know, just beginning this life on this earth, or whether we're a little closer to saying goodbye to life on this earth. God knows every experience that we're going to encounter. He knows everything that's going to transpire over the course of this year. And the difference that's going to make in our lives in the course of this year is our faith in the person of God? Do we believe that He knows? Do we believe that He cares? Or are we going to relegate Him to a facts? Or are we going to relegate Him to a statement of beliefs? Or are we going to recognize Him for who He is? A person who cares about us, who desires to know about our lives, desires to be involved with our lives. The path of transformation begins there. It also is a walk that follows His lead. Follows His lead. You know, it's about hearing God and then following Him. Hearing Him and following Him. A couple of years ago, we took a vacation up to a lake in New Hampshire where we vacationed all the time growing up. And there were two places that we used to, two mountains near there that we used to climb up. One was Blueberry Hill, and we had an opportunity to go up, and we picked blueberries, and the whole top of that mountain is just covered with blueberries, and we had no problem going up that mountain. But there's one on the other side of the lake, and I had only been up a couple of times when I was young. And I wanted to go up there with the family, and I says, well, how do you get there? And they says, well, you just go up to the end of the dirt road and follow the path. And that path went all of about 50 yards, I would say. And from that point on, it was just overgrown mountainside. And as we were marching up, you know, in order to get to the top, it took a lot of listening. Because, you know, Marcia and I weren't quite as quick as some of the younger ones, and they're running on ahead, and it's all of a sudden you can't see them anymore. It's like, what? Where are you? Over here. I think the path goes this way. There was really no path. It was gone. And, I think there's a lot of parallel to that in our Christian walk. When we think about following, it's more about really listening to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I haven't found anybody who's had a lot of exact experiences that I've had in life in Scripture. But when I look back in Scripture, something that's common about everybody that I read about is that they followed a personal God who led them through the circumstances of their life. I haven't had to conquer Jericho. I haven't had to fight Goliath. I haven't had to do all of those things. But I have had to trust God to know what's coming down the road. And I've had to listen for His voice. And I have no idea what's ahead of us for 2013. I have no idea what's ahead of me for 2013. But I do know that I have been called to faith in a person who speaks, who leads, who guides, who has given me His Spirit to be there with me whatever happens. And He is the wisdom and the direction and the sufficiency. And He will use His Word. He will use you folk. He will use other believers to guide me along that way. But my challenge is to really keep my faith confident in Him and then follow His leading. What is it that He's asking me to do? What is it that He's doing around me? Paul began to be led in directions that really touched the entire known world in his day. Why? Because he had an encounter that changed his faith from a religion to a relationship. And then he began that journey of learning to follow from the very beginning where everything was taken away from him, even his very eyesight, so that he had to be led. And then he had to be taught. You know, Scripture doesn't tell us what Ananias' pedigree was, but I bet you he wasn't a student of Gamaliel. He didn't have the rich history and heritage about the Bible knowledge, but God took Paul to Ananias to start his journey. And it went from there. So that he could hear what God had to say and begin to learn what it meant to follow. You see, that's really what faith is about. It's about seeing God for who He is and responding to what He is saying to us. That's what our faith is. That's what begins the path of transformation. God changes us by faith. Scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. It's very interesting. Paul, when he writes to the church in Rome, says, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you might know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is." You know, our act of worship is to recognize God for who He is and surrender ourselves to Him. When we do that, we begin to hear Him speak and He begins to transform the way we think. Rather than being conformed by all the voices around us, we begin to hear His voice and it begins to change the direction that we go. As you consider what's ahead of you in 2013, I want to challenge you that if 2013 is going to be any different than 2012, it's going to be because your faith grows. And if your faith grows, it's because you've recognized who God is in a deeper and more real way this year. And you've learned to follow Him a little bit more faithfully, a little bit more closely. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I thank You for those who have gone before us, because they remind us that the walk that You've called us to walk is very similar. It is much as You call them. Circumstances different for every one of us. But at the heart of the matter, it's You. It's believing that You are real and personal. That You're not distant, but You're close. That You're not unconcerned, but You care deeply. And that in Your love, You have provided for a relationship with You that is ongoing and ongrowing. Lord, help us to approach You that way this year. Help us to stop thinking of You as a part of our schedule and more as a part of our life. And then give us the courage to follow You as You speak to us and lead us. In Christ's name, amen.